G'day everyone, how are we? Just want to reiterate a few things Solomon talked about. This faith promise, what this is enabling us to do is incredible things. Anywhere from school chaplaincy, we have a dream of seeing chaplaincy in this area as well. We had chaplaincy down at the Hawkesbury, it's going really, really well. But we want more chaplains in schools. The favour we are seeing in Windsor High School right now is incredible. When the principal actually says to me, can you run a Christian group for me? She's not a Christian, she's an atheist. And she said, we need a Christian group. I said, what do you want me to do? She said, you can do it, whatever you want. And do you know what? We're seeing kids born again. We're seeing kids fight up for God. It's amazing. God's favour's on us. We want to see the same thing in Springwood High and Wimberley High and whatever schools open up in the primary schools. That's what this is about. Also, what we're doing, we've got a church planted in Cambodia. And it's on fire, doing great things. But we want it to expand and we want it to reach many villages. That's what we're about. We want to help people in villages. That's what it's about. And also, one thing we're introducing this year is helping our Indigenous families within this nation. A guy called Les Freeman. He's a good man. He spoke up here a few years ago, actually. And he reaches and trains leaders within the Indigenous community to plant churches. And I look at things like what's happening in remote communities right now. There was a woman who used to come to church here. Reason why she does now, her and her husband moved to Alice Springs. She took up a nursing position and the remote communities outside of Alice Springs. And she told us what she sees in the emergency ward is horrific. Things that children are experiencing that they should not experience ever. And I sat down and I realized the only thing that can help a crisis like that is Jesus Christ Church. And if we can plant churches in those communities, I don't think the government has the answers. I really don't think they do. I don't think finances are the answers. I think the answer is seeing Jesus' church planted there with the love and the grace and the beautiful word of Jesus Christ being spoken. That's what's important. And that's what this does. So can I ask you to pray and to think about it? You can bring it in early if you like. We've got a box here somewhere where you just put your tithes in. You just whack that in there as well. And what we do is we ask everyone to put your name on there because we set our budget from this. And it also gives me an opportunity to pray for people and their families. And like I always say, if Mickey Mouse gets put on there offering $3 million, I'm hoping he's true, but he's probably not. And we just want to know whether it's real because we've got to set our budget by it. Is that cool? Cool. Fantastic. Well, we had a great night on Friday night over at Everton House where we had a Friday night generational service. And the plan is, I want you to know, is to have it every week one day. That's what we want to do. We need a venue. Part of this, seating in. Maybe it's to help pay for a deposit on Everton House, because I really want to purchase that. Spoke to the board this week, Dave was there. I said, can we believe together in faith that by the end of this year that we will be having our Christmas service at Everton House because we own it? And that's my faith. I'm believing that we can. Why? Because we're putting a stake in the ground for people to see, hey, there's a church here and we're better off because of it. And there's also a cafe with really good coffee and pizzas and things like that. But really what it is it's a place for our church. It's a home for our church. Right now our kids are meeting outdoors. I want them to meet in a venue. That's why. So if you want to see it in, you see it in all you can because we want to see that happen. Is that cool? Amen. Well, our theme for this year, what we've named the year, our declaration over this year was simply a church the world needs, the church Jesus wants. Pretty well the same thing. What the world needs is a church, particular sort of church. And what Jesus wants is that church. And we spoke the last month about our vision. Our vision simply is strong one, strong family, strong church, strong nation. And it starts with the one. It starts with the individual. Becoming strong through Jesus Christ, through His Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, walking with Him. And that there produces, you get enough strong ones, you're going to get a strong family. You get enough strong families, you'll have a very strong church. You get a strong church, enough of them, you'll have a strong nation. I actually think nations should be the collective noun for churches, actually. I don't think there is a collective noun. I think we should get on the Wikipedia and put it on there. A collective noun for churches as a nation, amen? But today, I want to share with you an extension of one of those, if I can. If you'd just give me the liberty of doing that. You see, in our world right now, I look around and I see we have a major crisis amongst families. In fact, I will go on to say that I believe there is an attack on the family in the modern day world, especially in the West. It's being smashed to pieces. What we're seeing happen in our world is this Marxist agenda coming up in politics, in education, in every institute I pay attention to. There's this Marxist attitude coming up. Karl Marx was a horrible man and had horrible ideas. And I do not know why this is raising its ugly head like it did in the mid-last century. It's raising its ugly head again. But here's the thing about Marxism. Two things it wants to destroy. God and families. And I see this attack on families. So today I want to reiterate a little bit more about strong family and how important it is. And how, as a church, we are committed to seeing families becoming stronger and stronger. We're committed to seeing families be able to flourish and to able to make something effective for the whole society so it spreads to every neighbor, every workmate. They see strong families. Because I think strong families were God's plan right at the very beginning. You know, being a strong one is amazing. There's no doubt about it, but it doesn't stop there. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God had just created Adam. Thought he was pretty cool. It says here, then the Lord said, it is not good for man that he should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Another version says, comparable to him. And you see, God thought it was best for people to dwell in a family. You know, that word to fit or to make him comparable with him. It's a Hebrew word which means to help, aid, rescue, or be a strong resistance. That's interesting, isn't it? A strong resistance. Who here plays golf? Anyone played golf? Three of us, four of us, five. I didn't say that you're good at it. That eliminates all of us. One thing I noticed about golf is when you're putting downhill, right? Putting downhill, it is so much harder than putting uphill. You see, the professionals will always land the ball below the hole, below on the downslope, right? They'll always do it because it's always easier to putt uphill. Why? Because there's resistance. It keeps it straighter. It keeps it more in control. And that's the word used here. I will make a helper comparable to him. I will make a helper who will push against him, who will bring him, enable him to remain straight, bring a force against him. And God formed a family for that very reason. No one should be on their own, ever. You see, it's in a family that people are protected. God's intention was that people would be protected, that they would be loved, and the children will have a safe place to thrive. That's what family is about. It was God's design. In fact, I believe it is the family that can, if a family is functional and strong, I think it's the answer to every social need in our world. The family is so important. Family should make everyone stronger. What do I mean by a strong family? I just want to share with you this morning what I believe. What I mean when we, as a church, we talk about strong family. Because it is such a great thing which is worth fighting for. You might have had bad experiences, but it's worth fighting for a good experience. It might have been a situation where you're sitting there thinking, oh, well, really, my family? Oh, if you knew my family. Well, if you knew mine. We've had crazy moments. But it's worth fighting for. Because a strong family, everyone benefits. Yeah? Well, first thing about it is a strong family, it's about making your family strong. God placed you in a family. You might not even like it, I don't know. What we're all about is helping your family become strong. Bringing function rather than dysfunction. Helping you grab hold of what God says about marriage and family and making sure it is what you're applying. I want to show you what the Word of God actually says about it. You know, we want to help you develop really strong marriages. You know, marriage is the most important thing within a family. Do you understand that? You know, husbands, the best thing you can do for your children is love their mother. Love them greatly. and show that you love their mother. Do it. Gross them out with your kissing, man. Gross them out with your dancing around the kitchen. Kids, especially young ones, need to see that security, that mum and dad are strong, that marriage is important. I like to bring challenge to husbands, and I like to bring challenge to wives, because the role of a husband, the role of a wife is so important. It is one of the most honoured positions there is, and it's such under such attack. The world just belittles marriage. In fact, they try to discredit it. But not in my eyes, man, because marriage in God's word is so, it's sacred. It's an institution. God ordains three institutions. I forget what they are now. The government, marriage, and there's another one. Forget. I'll get back to you on that. The church, of course. The church. Sorry. The church. You see, a family can only be as strong as its marriage. And the marriage is something that I believe we need to be consciously always working on. It's something that needs to be addressed all the time. How are we doing it? See, marriage done God's way is not rocket science, but it's hard. It's not hard to get. It's hard to do. And the problem is, in our world, people are encouraged not to do hard things. And when you get a marriage where two people aren't prepared to do hard things, unfortunately, then the kids have to do hard things. And we don't want them to have to do it, not in that realm anyway. So we fight for our marriage. We fight to get this well. We fight to get it strong so the kids don't have to do hard things. They can grow up safe and protected. That's why we do. That's why a strong family is so important to me. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 is probably the most controversial scripture in the whole Bible. Wives, submit to your husbands. It's the most incorrectly preached verse in the whole Bible. Because in verse 22, do you know verse 22 actually doesn't even mention the word submit? You know that? It actually says, and wives to your husbands. That's all it says. That's all it says. Because the verse before it says, submit one to another. Husbands and wives, submit to each other. Wives to your husbands. That's what it says. Then it goes on, husbands, how do you submit? You love your wives as Christ loved the church, laying his life down for her, speaking words that wash her with your language and the way you speak to her, lifting her up, speaking words that take out all the devil's lies. There's this whole passage about what a husband should, how he submits to his wife. It actually says the husband's the head of the home, as Christ is the head of the church. I don't see it as a boss position. I see it as a position of accountability. You're the one answerable to God. You're the one who should be praying the most. You're the one who should be getting the word from God saying, God, what did I do wrong? You need those answers. That's the way I read it. When you look at the context of what was happening in the Ephesus church, you see what was happening was they'd found freedom. They lived in a very Roman sort of area, Greek and Roman area where, you know, women were much just above, you know, livestock in the way of pecking order. But these women realized they're not. They're actually made in the image of Christ. And they are chosen children of God. And they found this incredible liberty. Now, in the Ephesus church, there were a lot of wealthy people. And these wealthy women understood that. The problem is they found their independence in God's, and what the Bible's saying is, hey, no. Submit one to another. Independence doesn't, it's not the key. It's interdependence. Oh, yeah, I can do my own thing. No, don't do that. Come together. A lot of people at weddings say, oh, a wife should obey their husbands. That is such a lie. You teach your children to obey, it says in the next chapter. Teach your dog to obey. No. Women are incredibly powerful units, pushed against the man to keep him straight, remember? That's what the marriage is so important to work on. It's so vital. If you want to understand what it really means, you get down to verse 33, which actually says, and men should love their wives, and wives should respect their husbands, which is very pertinent to the Ephesus church because there was no respect there. And the love, well, men, that was a foreign concept to most men. And Paul's saying, if you really want unity in marriage, this is what it is. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. That was the key. Simple. It's not that hard. to get, but it's hard to do, especially in a world which actually does not agree with any of that. I want to tell you, if you want to have a strong marriage, God's plan for your marriage is good. And all you have to do is just seek Him out and take Him on that marriage. And I pray that our church would be known as a church full of strong marriages. But also parenting. You know, what the world will teach you about parenting is almost contrary to what the Bible teaches you about parenting. You know, you need to get a hold of what God says about parenting. It is the most incredible role that God would give you His children to raise. Yet the world portrays children as a burden. Don't worry, they portray marriage as a burden too by, you know, the ball and chain around your ankle. Couldn't be further from the truth. Children are not a burden, they're a blessing. I'm one of the richest men in the world. I have 5 children, 7 grandchildren, and 2 more coming. Thank you. Bible says grandchildren are your crown. We should be looking at parenting as the most incredible opportunity we have. Children are so important. You know, they're moist clay that we get to mold and shape. One day they're going to harden. And you try and shape that, you'll break their arm off. We get to mold and shape them. I remember our first baby, Jesse, when he was born. I remember holding him, still in the labor ward. And the battle scene. And holding him, and God spoke to me really, really strongly. He said, Rick, I'm not giving him to you. I'm lending him to you. And I'm going to ask for him back. Whoa. The one who put the stars in place asked me to take one of his children and raise him. My goodness. What if we thought that way in church? What if we saw children that way? It's so important to see how important it is. Parents, work hard at this. Yes, work hard at your marriage. Number one thing, work hard. But work hard at realizing, do you know what? It's not helicopter parenting, but it's just making sure that they're being raised as God would want them raised. True? And don't listen to the world. The world has no idea. Trust me. The institutions, they don't have an idea. The Word of God has the idea. Yeah? So strong family means your family becoming strong. That's what we want more than anything else. It's the greatest honor to parent. It's the greatest honor to be joined together with a covenant for life. And we mean for life. Reason why is because it is such a powerful thing. You know, kids make you rich. Grandchildren are the crown. I've said that. Because why? We get to train them up in the way they should go. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's an instruction given to Israel about their children. This is what it says. I'll read it to you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. I take that as on the things you do, right? Bind them on your foreheads, your concepts, your thoughts, your thought patterns. Put them there, right? Write them on the door frames of your house. Let your house echo it in everything you do and on your gates. In other words, train your children all this stuff that you learn from God. Teach them all. Because what you're doing, you're setting someone up really, really strong. Now listen, I'm believing this year for broken families to be restored, for lost children to come home. I'm believing for it. We're starting to see a bit of it, which is incredible. God's answering some prayers. Let me tell you, there's probably nothing more powerful than the prayer of a mother. My grandmother, mate, she prayed us in. But when we pray and when we believe for it and we expect it, great things happen. I'm believing restored families right across the place. That your children all will love the Lord, your God, for all their lives. And I pray that they would serve Him for the rest of their lives. That's what I say to my children. I want them to, I say to at the 18th, 21st, weddings, engagements. I just ask of you 2 things, that's all. I don't mind what you do for an occupation. I don't mind if you're wealthy or not. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is this, that you serve God the rest of your life and get your kids to heaven. That's all I care about. because eternity is too long to worry about anything else. I want to see all my grandkids with me in eternity, and their children, and their children, and however the Lord extends it. One thing we want to do in our church, we're starting to sow seeds for this right now, is a course we're developing called Building Strong Families. We've already got one called Building Strong Men. We mentor year 10 boys, and it's incredible. Do you know, last year we had 10 young men graduate that, year 10, and crazy boys, hectic boys. Do you know, 9 of them now sowed into our church and love Jesus. It's incredible what God can do in this. We started Building Strong Women. I think 3 of them are in our church now as well. That's not our aim. Our aim is just to help them raise. We just tell stories. We're not allowed to give advice. We're not allowed to give opinions. We just tell stories. Our mentoring program, we do with them. And we're seeing these men change. Why? Because our stories are full of what God's done. That's what they're full of. This is what God's done. Bang. We want to develop a program called Building Strong Families. The same concept. Where we get around families, you know, people who have been married a long time. And they start telling their stories to those who are still learning the art of it. So that we can actually see strong families develop. It's one of the things we want to develop over the next 24 months or so. Pray you'll be part of it. Maybe you know people who would really benefit from something like that. What if we got it into the community? Because I'll tell you now, in our community right now, there's not many who have a clue about what they've walked into with marriage and things like that. But boy, it's the most awesome journey if you get it right. Yeah? So strong family is about making your family strong, but it's all a bit more than that. It's about forming genuine church community. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jesse was here and he shared about, you know, this thing called oikos that we developed. And oikos is the word for household in Greek. And it didn't just include your family, it included the neighbors and the people who worked with you and all the acquaintances and extended families. And what it was something where they looked out for each other. In those days, you didn't have family assistance. You didn't have a government who wants to help you out anywhere. You needed to be in a greater community. And what it was is they helped look after each other. If someone was sick, they got around them. And this is what I envisaged for church, that we would be full of oikos. That we would have families who want to embrace people into families. A church family. You know, here I am talking about, you know, related families, but it causes a lot of hurt for some people because they haven't experienced anything good in the family context. But that doesn't mean in a church context they can't experience something amazing. We're developing in our churches this concept of spiritual parents. They're leaders who have taken on the mantle, if you like, or the responsibility of being like a parent over others, caring for them, loving them, providing a place for everyone to belong. But not only that, we want to gather these little communities, these missional communities, around a mission. Because without a mission, relationships fall apart. I tell you, I actually believe my biological family, I think the strongest thing we have is a mission. We're serving the Lord. I don't care how we do it, we just serve Him. And we're always looking for ways to serve Him. It's a mission that we're on. And you know what? We might not agree on some things, and sometimes it could get a bit heated. Doesn't matter. The mission holds us together. Do you know, Proverbs 29 says this in verse 18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Right? Another version says the people are discouraged and perish. Where there's no vision, but blessed is the one who keeps the law. When there's a vision, it ties people together. It restrains them together. So in church community, when we form families, it's more than just having a family dinner. Dinner's a critical part of it, and I love having dinner, as you can tell. I love sitting around, and you heard Solomon talk about, you know, which is the better, Christmas or Easter. We love dinners, it's great, but that's just the icing on the cake. What the cake's made out of is us loving one another, bending over for each other and bending backwards for each other, making sure everyone's doing all right. Just keeping in touch, having a place of belonging, and going on mission together. That's what we do. The mission might be simply, you know, we've all got, Naomi and I have started a huddle. It's a discipleship group. And I noticed something about the families within our huddle. All their children aren't with the Lord. They're away from God. So our mission Let's bring them back. Let's bring them back. And you know what? It's working. We pray together. We actually talk about it. We actually actively got a plan in place. We run around to someone's place for dinner. Why? Because we want to get to know their kids. We want them to come home, and they're starting to come home. You know, a really cool story. Went to dinner. While we're at dinner, one of them gets a phone call. So, Rick, what time's church tomorrow? 10 o'clock. Yeah, mate, I'll be there. Whoa. We're on mission together. It's genuine. Genuine love, because that's what families do. Families look out for one another. Amen? So it's not only for our own marriages and families. It's not only just for our community, but also strong family is about setting up generations. If I was to claim one thing that I'm really passionate about, this would be it. That we set up generations. You know, a church wrapped up in itself makes a very small package. A generation wrapped up in itself makes a very small generation. But a generation that dares decide that the generations after me will benefit because I was here is a very strong generation and a powerful generation. And I want us to be that generation. The ones who live beyond just our own years, but make sure we get this right. That we set up the generations that are to come. And do you know what? They're all around us. There's a whole bunch from just there, a whole bunch from out there, back row. There's all these generations out there. And we have a responsibility, church, to set them up. I benefited greatly from churches that set me up, welcomed me. I was just a little kid, a snotty-nosed little kid, running around. And do you know what? Somewhere, God would bring along someone and just speak the right words into me, set me up. And I couldn't miss staying in the kingdom of God. Why? Because someone set me up. Setting up the generations is important. In our parenting, yes, but also in our church life. Every one of us got these little kids running around. This should be the safest place they could ever find on a Sunday. And it should be a place where there are so many dads like people and so many mums like people that they all feel safe and secure. You know, the words just saying to a young man, boy, you're awesome. God's going to use you. That could echo in his ears for the rest of his life. It's one thing for a pastor to say it, but when just another dad in the place says it, mind you, he starts believing it. It's so important. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, we're reading about the Ten Commandments, and we get to the fifth commandment. It says this, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in this land the Lord your God is giving you. Interesting passage of scripture, and I used that on my children several times, as my father used on me. But I realized what this is actually about. It's the Ten Commandments weren't written to an individual, they were written to a nation. They were written to all of Israel. And you know what? I've seen plenty of people who honored their parents not last long on the planet. It's not what it means. He's talking to Israel, God's people, God's institution, if you like. And says, that's the promise. If you teach your children to honor their parents, Israel will last a long time. And still with us now. 3,500 years after this was written. That idea of generations must be benefited from what we do. We don't teach children to respect elders just because it's the right thing to do. No. Because they need that in them somehow to last. So that one day a generation will look at them and honor them as well. That's important. We teach them to do that. It's a generational thought. It's a generational mindset that goes on and on and on. And it makes you strong. I like the heart of King David. My favorite psalm, Psalm 71, verse 17 and 18. David's prayer. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, amen. O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Do you know what I loved about love for Friday night? There's plenty of, well, not plenty, there's a bit of gray hair there. I loved it. Saw Lester and Felicity there. championing these young people. They sing songs that are too fast for me to pick up the words. Just as well on Pentecostal, because I can interpret it. I don't care what they're singing as long as it honors God. I don't care if I like the music. It doesn't matter. Do you know what I like? I like the fact there's a whole bunch of kids who are finding the presence and the power of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's with them and they're starting to get to know him. Because why? We're setting up a generation. It sets up strong families in the future. I even said to a couple, I said, one of my hearts is that they'll all find their spouses in this sort of setting. Why? Because they're all experiencing God together. They're all experiencing incredible experience and power of the Holy Spirit. You see, I think young people need to experience really just mainly two things. They need to experience the narrow path. How do I walk this walk? Show me how to live life. They need to experience that. And we call that discipleship, right? But they also need to experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That just like welds God into them. They experience what they can't experience at a club. They experience what they can't experience at a football game. They experience him. And he is real to them. Forever Free, last January. Incredible time. Some of those young boys from our Building Strongman program came along. They experienced the Holy Spirit. Now you can't talk them out of being a Christian because they experience Christ. It's so important. But here's the key. When the gray hair, the mature ones around them, it's safer and it's stronger. And your words are so powerful when they hear you say things like you're a woman of God and God's going to do great things through your life. That's all you have to say. And all of a sudden it just echoes in their head for the rest of their life. I'm a woman of God, and God's going to do great things through me. That's why I love our generational service. Can I just be blunt with you, please? I suppose you have no option, eh? We don't have a youth group. I've just fallen short of banning youth groups. I ran a youth group, some would say a successful youth group, for many years. But there was no grey hair there. And didn't have much of a future. It didn't continue. It didn't have a generational effect. So I thought, I don't want to have a youth group in our churches. But we'll have generational services which youth love and little kids love. You can bring your little kids along to it. When we have our next one, please bring them along. You saw my grandkids dancing around. It's a bit interesting on Saturday mornings when they're a bit hyper still. Just take them to McDonald's. There's a great playground there where you lock them in. It's great. And but when you see a generation begin to raise like this, oh my goodness, I feel like David, oh Lord, this is what you've got me here for. And I believe this is what the church should be doing. Helping young people find him. Helping young people walk with him. Helping young people serve him in the most incredible ways. And we'll start to see what God does through them. It's powerful. It is powerful. Question I often ask people who have little children. Can you see the man in the boy? A little Ezra. Ezra's an interesting little fella. All I can say when he's going crazy, karma, mate, karma. One of our children used to crawl out of their cot. One of them thought the baubles on a Christmas tree were great to hit. Just one of them with a golf stick. And I'm loving all the stories I hear about Ezra. It's just great. But it's so important to be able to see the man inside the boy. Because if you don't see the man in the boy, you'll see the boy in the man. Same with girls. You've got to be able to see the woman in the girl. Let them be kids. Let them grow as kids, absolutely. But you've always got this vision of the man in the boy. One day, he's going to be this big. Ezra's going to be a very tall young man. And one day, God's going to ask great things of him. If we can see it now, we can set him up for it. We can see him do great things. Can you see the man in the boy? That's what I do on Friday nights. I'm sitting there watching the men in the boys, the women in the girls. I'm watching it all the time. I love Friday nights. But you're the senior guy. You're old. Yep. And I love Friday nights. Like I said, don't really understand the music. Can't say I'm, you know, into it that much. Doesn't matter. They do. I think you've heard me say several times, when I go fishing, see, I love mushrooms. I love eating mushrooms. They're beautiful things. But I don't use them when I go fishing because fish don't like mushrooms. It's not what I like. It's what they like. That's why we do it. Every second Sunday of the month, we have a thing called Strong Family Service. I think it's next week. Is that right? Next week. Strong Family Service. And it's a bit unique in the sense that we keep the kids in and it's a different sort of service. We have a game and some fun stories and a take-home and things like that. Do you understand it's not just a kitschy little service? There's a whole ploy behind it. There's a whole idea of the family celebrating church together. There's an idea that the kids actually feel like they belong in here amongst all the tall people. There's something for them and they feel as though they're not just an accessory here on Sundays, but it's directed at them as well. Now, the take-home's more for us. It's really so, hey, there is a message in this more than just for kids, parents. Blah, here's the take-home, right? And but it's something that we're working on that I've never heard seen worked on before, ever. But we really felt this is of God. And one of the reasons what really makes me passionate about it is because what we're seeing, and we're just seeing it's starting to come around the right way, but we're seeing a big void in churches, every denomination in all the Western nations. And that is this young adults generation. There's not a lot of them in church. And one of my theories was it's because they never were in church. They went off to an outside room and did a kids program like the Wiggles. And then we took them to youth where it's just extreme stuff, you know, just crazy games and fish milkshakes and things like that. And they didn't experience God in a great way, but they had a great time and big crowds. But they never were in church. Then they get to the church and it's boring. Because they don't understand how powerful it can be to hear the word. They understand how powerful it can be in worship just to center in on him and allow his presence to come on your life. They don't see that. So what we're wanting to do is every second Sunday of the month, we have a strong family service. I'm going to ask you, please come. Be part of it. Champion it. Make noise in it. Laugh and shout and sing and show these kids. Hey, Dad, just a side note. Kids love to see you worship God. Oh, but worship happens in here. Yeah, but kids can't see that. Let them see it. Like David danced. Just don't do it naked. But he said this, I'll even be more undignified than this because it's God, right? When your kids see you worship God, when your kids see you pray, it does something for them. That man in the boy sees it. That woman in the girl sees it. And one day they're going to want to mimic that. This strong family service we do is why? Because we're setting up generations. One day I'm going to be gone. God's going to call me home or he comes back first, either way. But if he calls me home before that day, I want to know that the generations are set up. That we've got something happening, that church after church after church is full of generations. God's into them. God is into them. I want to read you my second favorite psalm. I'll read the whole psalm, and don't worry, it's not a long one. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Now here it is. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The first of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Happy is a man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. Wow. Wow. Children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. Quiver has nothing to do with the word quin. It's not five. Oh, I have to have five children. No. How many is the right number? As many as you can. There's a lie in this world about you shouldn't have as many children. Do you understand? Children are the secret to prosperity in a nation. Our nation's in a bit of trouble right now because we're averaging less than 2 children per mother. Do you understand? That means population decrease, which means we have to increase immigration just to keep our infrastructure happening. China is in deep yogurt right now because they haven't been having enough children. It's interesting what's happening out there. You've got to think generations, right? Think generations. Oh, it's not that bad. It will be. But my point is this. Arrows in the hands. Arrows aren't meant to stay in the quiver. If they stay in the quiver, they're useless. They don't do anything. But when you get to launch them, they meet their potential. Something can happen great in them. It says there, and then you can sit at the gates. You can sit at the gates of your enemies. And the inference is that you'll not be afraid. Why? Because you've set up generations. You've set them up. They fight the fight for you. They guarantee you strength and wealth. That's what they do. Don't believe the lie of the world. It's Marxism. Believe the truth of the word, right? I honor you families, you guys who have gone along the fostering route. I honor you. You understand it. You're bringing family together. And it's hard, right? All parenting's hard. But think about the generations you're setting up. Lives that have changed, but the generations you're setting up are incredible. They're arrows in your hands. And you get to launch them. That's the powerful thing. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, strong family, I think it's in your heart. And I pray, Lord God, that, Lord, everyone would understand what that is. Lord, I pray that the lies of the enemy would be taken away and the truth of the word of God would be in our hearts even more. I pray for every family here right now. Lord, that Lord, they'll be strong. Every couple marriage would be strong. Lord, would you help them to sort things that need to be sorted? That tension, Lord, that I think you bring. So it makes them both stronger. Lord, would you just see it, help them to see it for what it is, that you're at work? Lord, I pray for the children and the parents. I pray, Lord, that again, even though it's tough sometimes, a lot of the time, Lord, that they would see your hand at work in them and understand that you have called them for the greatest honor of all. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for children who are lost right now. Lord, would you call them home? Hound dog of heaven, will you track them down and would you bring them home? Lord, I pray, Lord God, that many, many of them will return, find you, and fall in love with you. That's what we ask for, Lord. And Lord, I ask, Lord God, in this church here that we would have such strong community, that everyone would take responsibility of a family member, that we are not like a family, but we are a family. And I pray that would be over Mountains Church all the time, that every guest, every visitor would come in and feel like they've just come home. Lord, that those who don't know you would come to know you through this community. And Lord, that we would be on mission together, looking out for, Lord, where you want the light shone and where you want the salt sprinkled. We would be salt and light to this world, God. And I pray blessing over this church in the most incredible way, in the name of Jesus. Amen.